Because there are times in the Christian's life when the Lord has been banished from our hearts. We turn to other things in our folly, and we trust in other ways in our folly, and there becomes now this distance between you and the Lord. And the lament from the heart of the Lord is, why are you not asking me to come back? Why are you silent? Why do you live in this vacuum? What you tried has failed. The other things you've turned to have not ministered to you. You are now empty, but you're not even asking me to return and come back and be king again in your heart and in your life.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. It is always a privilege to bring the message of God's Word to you wherever you may be, and I hope that this word today will be a special help. It's called Bringing the King Back. It's about King David, who was banished over the Jordan, and his own people, his own son, who had led his own people to send him into exile. He had to flee for his life. And now Absalom was dead, but yet the king was still exiled. And the message comes that the king can be exiled from his own people. It comes to our hearts as a reminder that we can be, yes, professing Christians, and yet the Lord is at a great distance. It's as if he is in another country, and we're quite happy just to go on with our own lives without the Lord in our midst. We can lose out, stop prayer, cease from seeking God's face, and we end up as a stranger, and the Lord a stranger to us. But the good news is that the king is asking, why are ye the last to bring the king back? And this question, I hope, will come to your heart with great conviction and lead you to a true restoration, to return unto the Lord and be sure that when you return unto him, he will return unto you. It is a great story. It is a fascinating piece of history in the life of David. But I hope that it will be a great story in your life, because it will lead to your reconciliation and restoration unto the Lord. So stay tuned right through the program. May the Lord speak to your heart today.
We thank thee today for the joy of communing with God through your word. This is your means. This is the way you have ordained. You have revealed yourself through your word. We come to this passage today with joy to learn of God's way of reconciling with your people. Thank you, Lord, that you deal with us in grace and mercy and in tenderness. Wilt thou open hearts and minds today to the love of God, and help me, O Lord, to be a faithful pastor, to care for every soul, and to so preach, to encourage, to assist, and to be a blessing to every heart. Minister to us, Lord. Give help. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our text today is the question of King David to his people. It's found in 2 Samuel 19 and in verse 10. Now, the context is the death of Absalom. Absalom was David's son who had rebelled against him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine maybe in a church situation of a son rising up and driving his father out of the pastoral ministry and taking over the church? Well, here is Absalom, and he's taking over the kingdom. And his father is banished on the other side of Jordan. And the revolt has taken hold. The people have followed Absalom, but it didn't go well. And you remember the story of proud Absalom, the one who pulled his hair, however that was done, just in a big bun on top of his head, a show of pride. And in the battle, as Absalom rode his mule, he got caught in the woods in an oak tree and he hung by his hair. And then he was killed by archers. And so Absalom was dead. Israel was without a leader. And many of the Israelites were saying, let's get David back. We need David to be our king. Now Israel, that means the northern kingdom. They are way up northward. But the people of Judah hadn't spoken yet. They were remaining quiet and silent. And now you have this question in verse 10. 2 Samuel 19, verse 10. I want you to look at your Bible now. I want you to look at it with your own eyes. I want you to see David's heart cry to his fellow kin of Judah. Remember, David was of the tribe of Judah. These were his own people. He says to them, now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? All the others were speaking, but these people were not saying a word. Now, of course, it's always easier to drive a man away than to invite him back. Yet here is the abiding loyalty of David to his people. Even though he was offended, even though he was wrongly done by, he still yearned for the good of his own people. He was a true shepherd, a true caring king over his people. But of course, a week in politics is a long time. And changes were many, and the kingdom was rocked. David was banished, and he was longing to be back caring for his people. But there was no word. Nobody in the land of Judah, Jerusalem, in the southern area, were sending messages or ambassadors or coming in person and saying, David, come on back, come on back. Come back into our midst. Be our king. All of this was so stupid. It was wrong. It was rebellious. We repent. We invite you to come back and be our king. Now, King David speaks to us as the greater David, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Because there are times in the Christian's life when the Lord has been banished from our hearts. We turn to other things in our folly, and we trust in other ways in our folly. And there becomes now this distance between you and the Lord. And the lament from the heart of the Lord is, why are you not asking me to come back? Why are you silent? Why do you live in this vacuum? What you tried has failed. The other things you've turned to have not ministered to you. You are now empty, but you're not even asking me to return and come back and be king again in your heart and in your life. And of course, sin always creates this tension. When a Christian sins and grieves the Lord, there's always this tension. You find it hard to pray, and you wonder, does God even want to hear my prayers now? And is there any way back? And is there any way of reconciling? And there's this distance that continues, and probably a hardness. How could they ever look David in the eye again? These offenders felt there's no way that he would even be interested in coming back. And that, of course, is the good news. David wanted to be back king again in the old way, in the rightful place as leader of his people. And from the heart of our Lord Jesus, that's the good news. Even though we have offended him, even though we have grieved him, even though we've been prayerless and careless and walked and followed other ways, the Lord is asking, is there not someone? Is there not even the request to bring me back to be again king of their lives and of their hearts? Now, of course, in all relations, hurts leave scars. And that's true between the Christian and the Lord. When you backslide, when you lose out, when you grieve the Lord, there are those scars, those hurts that need to be mended. And that requires a real, genuine work of reconciliation. It's like two offended people and someone just grabs them by the scruff of the neck, bangs their heads together, sets them down at the table and says, "Now, what's the problem? Why are you not wanting to walk together in real fellowship?" And the Lord's asking that question of you, perhaps. Why say ye not a word of bringing the king back? You're not praying about it. You're not searching your Bible to find a way back. You're not even asking for prayer that you might get right with God afresh. So today I want to reason with you about bringing the king back into your life. Because maybe that's the condition you're in. And maybe you have banished the Lord to some degree in your life and you feel the estrangement. You feel the distance. And you feel powerless to do anything about it. Well, the first good news of this event, which, as I say, this what happened to David and his people, which teaches us about our Lord and his people, every Christian, this event shows us that the king wants back into your heart to be king of your life. That's the thing you need to notice. Look at verse 11, chapter 19 and verse 11. And the king David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying. Now notice, David took the initiative. The king spoke first and sent messengers first, sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah. Why are ye the last to bring the king back?" Zadok and Abiathar were the king's messengers, and they were to send this invitation, this message of reconciliation to David's people in Judah. And this is how the Lord works. He sends messengers and he commands his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that includes those who have lost out, who once ran well and walked with God, but they have lost out. People that might remind you of Peter. Peter, who so betrayed and denied and let down the Lord. The Lord had a word for him too, to repent and return back. And you know how David was restored and received. You know the three questions: "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" And Peter, the denier, was wonderfully restored and reconciled and became a faithful, useful servant unto God. In our series in the churches of the Revelation, that was the same message. Repent. I know thy works. Thou art neither hot nor cold. Repent. And the Lord would come again and walk in the midst of the candlestick. That's the pattern that you'll find in the Bible. The Lord wants to return. He takes the initiative. He invites and exhorts, and indeed he commands, repent, turn away from your folly, and turn again back unto the Lord. You don't believe me? I see quizzicalness. Is that a word? I see doubt in some faces. Would you take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah 24 and verse 7? Jeremiah and 24, verse 7. Now, you probably know that in the days of Jeremiah, there was an awful turning away from God. There was a deep backsliding. There was a rebellion and a great hurt unto God. And Jeremiah, the prophet, was called to preach reconciliation. Come back, get right. Turn away from your folly. And here in Jeremiah 24:7 is a promise. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Their whole heart. Now, do you see that right there in chapter 24:7? Can you take that as God's word to you? Now, I know it has an historical context. I know it was written through Jeremiah to the people of Judah in a different age, but it's in the Bible. It's recorded for our learning. And these are words you can take to your heart. And if you feel the estrangement, the banishment between you and the Lord, you can take these words. Remember our text earlier on, Hosea? Take with you words and return unto the Lord. These are the words. And he says, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And if you do that today, you're in. You're back in the circle. You're in fellowship. There's a way back. And the king commands it and exhorts it. Now, I notice in the promise here, the reluctance was with the people, not with the Lord. There's a sulking spirit in the people. You know, they're feeling hard done by. They're out of fellowship and they're sulky, like a teenager sulking. But it's the Lord that says, take with you words. Repent with your whole heart. And you return. The Lord's willing. And that's the first thing you need to know today. And I'm addressing backsliders, someone who has once walked well with God and you've gone back, you've lost that. You feel the distance, you feel the estrangement, you feel the division, you feel like it's the Lord on the other side of the Jordan, away out there somewhere, and you're here without the Lord. And it ought not to be. And the first thing to note is the Lord wants back in to be king of your heart. He wants to live and fellowship in your heart. Secondly, many others have answered the question. Because in this situation, we're back now in Samuel, 2 Samuel 19, and that question, verse 10, now why are ye the last to bring the king back? Meaning that there were many others, the northern Israelites, they have invited and exhorted the king to come back, but Judah had not. And this is a sad fact today. There are people who are just holding back. Perhaps these Judahites were laid back, lackadaisical. They were careless. Maybe someday. It'll happen. Shrug their shoulders, go on with life. And there are many people like that. You know, in their Christian walk, they get careless and the Lord's at a distance and they say, oh, well, somehow it'll work out. I'll get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. And they just don't do anything about it. Perhaps these Judahites were undecided. They had been radical times politically. Saul's kingship was a failure. David had conquered, but his sons revolted. Absalom was now dead, and they were in limbo. They were in a vacuum. What to do? So they were undecided. And of course, people can get into that state as well. Oh, I used to love going to the prayer meetings. I loved Bible study. I loved to be witnessing for the Lord Jesus. It was the joy of my heart in those years. But it's not the same now. I just don't have that now. And doubts come in and things have rocked the boat. You've bounced back and forth. You've got into a place where you're just undecided. Would the Lord really come and be king of my life again? Perhaps they were just silent. Why are ye the last to speak to bring the king back. The others had spoken. Judah had remained silent. And many people think that their silence can do no harm. You know, if your thing's just not rosy with you, say nothing. Try that in your marriage. Won't work. Won't work. Try that in the workplace. Won't work. You'll end up fired. And in the Christian life, when things are not well and you remain silent, well, that's a deeper offense. That's a further offense. And your silence becomes like a steel door without a handle on it, and the Lord's on the outside, and you are showing no interest in opening the door and inviting the Lord in. Now, I use that illustration because of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. That's the Lord speaking. You are called to open the door of your heart. Will you do that today? And the King will come back and reign again and live again within your heart.
It's time for another one of our pastoral talks. We've been thinking about God's grace, and the Lord promises that His grace is sufficient. That's what He said to Paul the Apostle when he had that thorn in his flesh, which was some physical malady that he wanted rid of. And he prayed three times, O God, take away this thorn, this problem. And God responded, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We need to think about the Lord's condition of bestowing grace. My strength is made perfect in weakness, God said. God, therefore, will not fill the proud person with strength. Paul was weakest when his flesh was strongest. He had to be brought to a place of his own emptiness. Note that this was the message that the apostle received from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for thee. The flesh in us is way too strong and is prone to self-promotion. It was because of Paul's privileges that he needed this thorn in the flesh. In verse 7, he had had revelations. He had been caught up to the third heaven. He was a man privileged above all others. Privileges, blessings, and success, if you will, were multiplied in Paul's life. We could think of him as being so spiritual that he couldn't handle it. But the reality is that no one can handle blessings, honor, and success without God's grace. Many have been ruined and spoiled through worldly success. God, in His wisdom, knows that we need to be brought to know our own weakness. It is through failure and trials or our physical sufferings that God keeps our flesh in check. Just think of that statement in 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then Paul said, I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And it was because of that inner sense of his weakness, and God made him to feel his inadequacy, and indeed his lack of equipment, that the Apostle Paul came to know the mighty power of God anointing him. And we must all be brought to confess weakness and feel that we are nothing. Pride must be torn out of us as a plague of the heart. God will not allow the Holy Spirit to fuel our pride. You never find the Holy Spirit making men proud of themselves or their own accomplishments. When Christians sound like politicians bragging of their own achievements, then it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Gideon's army had to be reduced to 300 men, and God chose just 11 weak, uneducated men, the 11 disciples, to turn the world upside down by preaching the message of the gospel. God truly put His gospel in earthen treasures that the glory might be of God. And so you have the Apostle Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's where God wants to keep us. And that's when we learn the Lord's condition of Him bestowing grace upon our hearts and our souls. And so, brother or sister, in your weakness, rejoice that God can still turn your weakness and manifest His power in your life. Power to believe, power to rejoice, power to find peace and strength of heart in the knowledge of the Savior's love for your soul. And so I trust that today that you will take this to heart and rest in the grace of the Lord, which is all sufficient. It is a never-ending supply. It is an inner well of life gushing up, bringing the life of Christ into your soul that will keep you through every situation of this world right to the end. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's unite in prayer and call upon the Lord to bless today. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the light of Your Word and for the way in which You bestow grace, that You manifest Your power in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, in our limitations, and You can demonstrate Your might even when we feel at our weakest. And so I pray today that with this knowledge, with this truth hidden in our hearts, that we will claim the grace, that we will lay hold upon the way by which You bestow that grace by the Holy Spirit. And so, blessed Spirit of God, come, revive hearts today. Glorify Your name by demonstrating Your power in the lives of Your people to comfort and to bless. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.